Good morning. It's time for the K-State Research and Extension Report, and joining us this morning is Frontier Extension District Crop Production and Farm Management Agent Ryan Schaub. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning.
Now, soil sampling, it's equally as important. It's not, you know, anything boring, but it definitely has to get done.
Absolutely. It's something that we talk about quite frequently on here. Once a year, once every 2 years, I try to talk to you guys about soil sampling. It's really important to do soil tests in years that farm income might be low, so, or maybe when fertilizer prices are extremely high. And that's a kind of a situation we find ourselves in right now. Why do I say it's important then? We can make sure that we're putting out what we need to, but maybe not putting out so much that we're building nutrients or leaving those nutrients out there. And we can kind of do that maybe when fertilizer prices come down. Now, there's a lot of there's a few of our producers out there that might be listening to this, and they're saying, well, we're on a variable rate application. This talk here probably not going to be meant for you then, unless we're looking at some hay grounds or pastures. But, you know, there's still a vast majority of our producers that are going out and spreading on this fertilizer and just making a kind of a blanket application out there and trying to grow some crops. So this talk is going to be or definitely having them in mind. I will kind of, before I get too far into it, I do want to say, if you're following some kind of regulatory, maybe there's an agency giving you some money to help soil test or something, and they have their own regulations, we're going to want to make sure that we follow those regulations to the letter, okay? Not necessarily what I say is might match up totally with them, so make sure that you're following those regulations if you have some. So with that, we're going to get ready to go to the field, let's say. Before we go out there, let's make sure that we stop by the extension office. We can grab a soil probe that we loan out. Each one of our offices has multiple soil probes that you can loan. If you don't have a probe, there's a spade that can, or an auger that can also do the trick. They talk about shovels and how you can dig up a clump and then take cores from it. It's a lot more work if you're going to make it, and we're not going to be as accurate there. So if you were asking me, I'd say going to be a probe or the augers. But then make sure we have a clean bucket as well. When you're in the office, you could also ask for some soil testing bags, or if you don't make it to the office or forget to, Ziploc bags work perfect for this as well. So grab those three things and then we can head out there. One of the biggest things I think producers need to know is take a lot of different cores, okay? We're not just going out there and sticking this probe in the ground in one or two spots in a corner of a field, and we're going to say that's the average. That's not a good representation of that field. We really need to be taking, you know, they say 12 to 15 cores. There's some research that shows that needs to be 18 to maybe 20 cores. What I would say, let's go out there and get a good representation of that and zigzag your way across the field. One of the reasons I love talking about soil testing this time of year, we've already got some of our crops removed. You can take a side-by-side out there, drive across that field, and just get out and just zigzag your way across that field. Avoid any of the unusual spots. If you've got a ditch, let's not take every one from the bottom of that ditch. Let's go to, you know, vary it around the field. If that ditch runs through the whole field, maybe you do take one out of that ditch. That's okay. That's just going to give you an idea of what's totally out there and getting a good average. But one of the biggest things that we can do outside of taking a lot of cores is making sure we're going the same depth every time. So if we're going to go 6 inches, make sure that you're going 6 inches on every sample. If we go 5 inches on this one and 4 inches on this one and 8 on this one, we can really throw things off a little bit there. So every little bit matters. Let's be consistent with that. If we're going 6 inches, go 6 inches on every sample. And then, so you stick that probe in the ground, 6 inches, pull it back up, put that dirt into that bucket, and go to the next spot and take the next one. When we get to the end of that field, you're going to just take those cores and break them up, mix them together, and we're going to put it into one of those soil testing bags or a Ziploc bag. Make sure that those bags are clearly marked. Easier to fill them out when there's not dirt in them rather than trying to fill them out when they've already been filled up. But make sure that you mark those bags so that you also know what field we're talking about. When I get these results back, that's the only thing going to be able to, I mean, the only difference for me is going to be what fields they were. But if you don't, if you labeled it A and you don't remember which field was A, it's going to make things a little more challenging. We're not going to do really accomplish any of our goals there. I would say there's been some more research done, and it's not nearly as big of a thing in the fall, like we've cooled off now. But if you were taking these soil tests in the middle of the summer and you just sit there and you leave them in your truck, we can really throw some of the results off. So the soil testing lab's really pushing, hey, let's make sure that we have good storage techniques here too. Let's not just leave them in the truck and then we'll get them to the office in 2 or 3 weeks and let that heat interact with that soil. Let's try to get these samples taken, get them into the office in a pretty reasonable time, and that way we can get them shipped off. Remember that your results are only going to be as accurate as the soil that you send off. So I think that's something that can play a big factor in it. I'm going to kind of leave you with this, and it's if we've took a soil test, or did a soil test in April 4 years ago, and we're going to take one right now. When we get our results, we can't sit down and look at those side by side. Okay, there are some seasonal variabilities out there happening. So comparing an April soil test to an October soil test, that's like comparing apples to oranges. Not going to be quite the same. Now, I'm not saying it isn't something that we could still utilize to make recommendations moving to next year's crop, but it's definitely not something to sit down and say, well, did I make progress in my nutrient plan here, or did I not fertilize enough or maybe I just grew bigger crops than what I was intending because the weather was good. Whatever it is, we can't compare that April to October's. What I would say, if we're within a month's time period, maybe even a month and a half, if you took one in the beginning of September and it's the middle of October, is that going to be as big of a deal? Not as big of a deal. Things have kind of changed along those lines. So that's a much easier comparison to then that there and then in April. So with that, guys, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. The office number is 785-448-6826.
Yeah, I feel like I learn more and more about farming every time I talk to you guys. Coming up Monday morning at 6:40, Frontier Extension District Family and Consumer Sciences Agent specializing in nutrition, food safety, and health, Chelsea Richmond.